We've got a questioner from the question from the gentleman here. Yeah.
Yes, one again questioning because
Mr. Chatterjee. Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Yep. Chatterjee. Yep. We have Rikswan here, and we have food hall also. There is a particular type of cherry tomato that is available in food hall at I think 1900 rupees per kg or something. And whenever we start discussing our state government about improvement in the horticulture sector and all, they tell us that, do you know, from Netherlands, cherry tomatoes come and here people buy at 1900 rupees per kilo. But why don't you grow it here? Then the farmers, growers will have increased productivity and rice one is also there, the same. But then again, when you go and speak to some retailers, they tell that it is good to import than to speak with local growers here and try to see, to give them such space. So when there's some premium quality of fruits or vegetables, are retailers more comfortable with importing it rather than procuring it domestically? Because there's quality, there's reliability, there's the supply chain has been developed with other countries. Because just looking at the grapes, as Wouter mentioned, that the grape supply chain was developed towards the export, and now they're placing it in the retail. So how is it for fruits and vegetables? There's more of a tendency to work with importers because supply chain is much more reliable and accessible.
Gentlemen, who wants to take
for
that?
Us, definitely. I mean, it's more of a comfort label which we grow with the importers, which is sustainability, and we get continuous supply of the products. Sometimes we are in a comfort label to dictate our terms. So there are various things which are involved in this. And especially with the local players, I can remember one of the local players near Calcutta growing dragon fruit, and we tried to put it on our shelf. It was looking absolutely similar, but taste was no way at it is there in Thailand. So we have tried a bit. It's not that it is not tried with the retailers. I don't know about the others, but for us, definitely we have tried. And the comfort label, what we have developed so far with the importers for a continuous supply and a good commercial terms, which is already established. And it is all about sustenance. And all retailers are tremendously under pressure on delivery in terms of per square feet sales and profit. What it is still looking distant for many of the retailers. So I think that's the comfort label what we have developed, and we want to continue for some time. But yes, I mean, if we get better options in near future, we can definitely explore.
Thank you. Question here.
Hi. We got a shop in...
Tell us who you are first.
I'm Sanjay Tropical from United Kingdom. We got a shop in Golders Green and Kingsbury. Kingsbury is an Indian area. Golders Green is a Jewish area.
These are two parts of London.
Yeah, two parts of London. But in Golders Green, there's a lot of Jewish. I'm thinking, why are they buying so much Hass avocados, and our shop in Kingsbury, we don't sell that much Hass avocados. So one day in the UK, the avocados come from all over the world. They were so much flooded. So all the customers used to come, we gave them a free avocado, Hass avocado. And now it's just picked up.
So in that Kingsbury area,
in the Kingsbury shop,
which is an Indian area,
Yeah. And so it's picked up a lot. Now they all buy avocados. They cut it and slice it and put it in salad, or they make instead of butter on the toast.
Yes.
They could put avocado, paste the avocado on it, and then
it's very nice. That
much
way.
Healthier.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. Any other comments or contributions that anybody wants to make? The lady, over here.
Well, I just want to leave the room with some perspectives which might be different from what one of our guests just brought up in terms of, educating the Indian consumer. While, yes, there's a big amount of education that needs to go for the Indian consumer, but the main end consumer who is open to the experiential food is the younger generation who is kind of exposed in various ways, you know, in ways of lifestyle, in ways of travel, in ways of, you know, living in different countries and maybe returning as NRIs from different countries, who is more open to finding, being the buyer for the imported items. Besides that, a typical lady who might be of a senior age would be very slow or not as receptive as the younger generation within the Indian community to such experiential food items. That is one perspective. The other perspective is we have a huge inflow of expats in India, which are also a big consumer base for the imported commodities. And that is another trend to be observant of. Besides that, I come from the northeast of India. And avocado or butterfruit, star fruit, kiwi, pineapple, strawberries are things which are easily available, locally produced, and of good quality. I'm no expert in that matter, but good edible quality. However, the rest of the country cannot enjoy this, primarily because, like Senthil mentioned, there's not availability of good packaging option or good transportation option that can retain the freshness and let it travel across. Even today, when we have advanced so much, it's a difficult proposition. Just to sum up, you know, we are a land of diversity. And like somebody mentioned in the morning, if you sit down to research and put standardized observations, it's going to be very difficult in this country.
Can you tell us your name and where you're from?
My name is Ruchika, and I work for Maersk Line. From Bombay,
okay,
but originally from Assam.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Well, as I was driving in to Pune the other day, I saw a big sign by the side of the road which said unity through diversity. So that's one of India's mottos. Mahmoud, you wanted to add something?
No, I think I liked your comment. Just wanted to add something to this educating the consumer.
Yeah.
Because I think it's more a form of marketing. Mm-hmm. The Indian consumer, this is over 1 billion people. Mm-hmm. So you'll be targeting a certain group that you want to sell something to this group. And I think this is the job of the retailers. Mm-hmm. For me as a supplier coming from Egypt, I'm coming to understand the dynamic, or trying to understand the dynamics of this market and
sure.
How it is. And if I go back now to the people in Egypt and tell them that the Indians think an orange is a mandarin and they make milkshakes from the nuts of the avocado, then they will probably tell me stay in India. But it's very important to learn these things. And
of course. Other comments from anybody? Questions? Or yes, Sumit Saran, can we get the microphone to you? It's just coming now.
I just wanted to say was that foreign foods in India is not something new. And if we go back in history, a lot of food that we consider very Indian today, including when you said cha is Indian. If you look at as basic thing as tea, we've never seen Indian gods drinking tea. We never would, in history books, have seen Akbar or Birbal having a cup of tea. Tea is as recent a phenomena as 1930s, 1940s. When Lipton as a company came and started sampling teas from small tea vendors across. And today, India is the largest tea-drinking country in the world. Even where tea originated says tea from India. So anytime some effort is put, it will show results. I absolutely agree with her when she says education. Who do you educate, where do you educate, and how do you educate are the three components. One thing that we realized in the education pie is that as retailers, as consultants, as promoters, we tend to focus too much on women.
Too much on what, sorry?
On women.
Okay.
25 to 45 upmarket women. We leave the man out of the piece. We've seen in India on high-value produce, it's the man, especially on fruits, it's the man of the house who's much more receptive. So while the woman goes there with her shopping list and she knows what she wants, and we see more and more men shopping across our retail chain, next time get your avocados to you, to the man who's coming, and it will have better results. Thank you.
Whoa. We've got this gentleman here. I like this discussion. It's good. I might just say about changing consumer habits that I read a poll the other day. It was in an English newspaper, and it said, vote for your favorite English pastime, and there were a number of things, and one of the options was going out for a curry. So you see how consumer habits can change in a country like ours where an Indian curry is the most loved food that we have. The gentleman here.
Yeah, I'll give you perspective of why slower adoption of a new produce or imported or exotic produce.
You're the gentleman, the retailer.
Remind us
of your name and where you're from.
I'm from Mother Dairy again.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I can't remember everybody. Okay. So thank you.
The point I'm making, why slower adoption of the new produce, which are say imported? Reason one, the fact of the matter, the retailers, especially the fresh produce category, is bleeding. And nobody is making profit, point one. Point two, it is primarily because of the dumpage and the quality is not there. Today we saw the street vendors and the retailers, the Reliance Fresh. So therefore, it's becoming more of wastage management in the fresh produce. And when it comes to managing the new produce, say avocado or kiwi for that matter, what happens is these people, they see this is not going, let's load more margin. The moment you load more margin, so it's become prohibitively high, 40%, 50%, 60%. They know it will get into dump, new product won't get adopted, therefore more load, and it gets into a vicious cycle. So therefore, the imperative is the producer has to come forward to support 6 months handholding in terms of not only education, but in terms of supporting the retailer for getting shelf space, getting listed. Therefore, the adoption will be faster.
I take your point, but I have to say I think retailers need to actually take some responsibility for this as well and start doing their work to start, you know, marketing to shoppers like all of us. And it's too easy, in a way, to point the finger at the producer all the time. I'm being controversial here, but what do you say to that?
I think I said the same thing. I mean, we are doing our bit, so now it's time for the producers also to come on board. And do something. I completely go.
In what sense to come on board and do something?
See, it's about everything. It's how to display, where to display, doing some promotions, getting activities done in the store.
But that's your job.
Or making. We'll be doing everything. We are already doing everything. But we need support from the producer also, because as he is rightly mentioning, that the retailers in India is under tremendous pressure now. So what international retailers probably has done in 30 years, we Indian retailers are trying to do that in 5 years.
But the support you're looking for is what? What does that mean when you say the support from the producer?
Suppose like a relatively new kind of a fruit like avocado, right? The way it needs to be displayed, the way we are making guacamole in the store, we are getting that tasted, right?
Oh, okay.
There should be new ideas coming up from there, because it's not a regular fruit what the Indian shoppers have been using so far. We have not used avocado all these days. So now it is not only the responsibility of the retailers, it's of the producers also to market that in India, and so that in next 1, 2, 3 years we take a hop, step, jump and go to the next level. Otherwise it will take years, maybe 5, 6, 7 years to reach up to that level.
So I'd like to add a small point here.
When
the person from Mother Dairy, when he was making the point, he was saying about the vicious cycle, which was kind of very true when, you know, typically a kiwi in India is being sold at 30 rupees, 35 rupees. And we used to sell like 15, 20 kiwis in a day per store. And we really never bothered whether a kiwi is there in the store or not in the store. But an interesting kiwi story happened a couple of years back when a couple of containers of kiwis came from Iran for the first time into India. And they were really cheap, you know. They were coming at, you know, the cost of each kiwi at, you know, my point was around 8 to 9 rupees. So, you know, we made a small internal decision. Shall we try to market kiwi instead of like an exotic fruit, like a primary fruit, say like an apple or an orange? So, one fine day we decided across all our stores, 40 stores, we started displaying kiwis in heaps, like big mountains of kiwis, and we put a price 10 rupees per piece. From 35 rupees per piece, it came down to 10 rupees per piece, and imagine what happened. It was selling 15 pieces per day. It moved straight to 300 pieces per day per store. And we were able to sell off a container in a week. You know, that's the speed at which we could sell off a container. Kiwi, suddenly from an exotic fruit, has become a primary fruit. Now there's not a single day which can pass without us having a kiwi in our outlets, you know. And it made a kiwi revolution. People from all other, the smaller retailers, the smaller guys, everybody wanted kiwis because people started tasting more kiwis. Everybody wanted to have more kiwis. So it's a perspective. Like he said, you know, never fall into the vicious cycle. Don't add margins over margins. You know, look at some vision. You know, it was not profitable to us ultimately, you know, because we were having something like a 1 rupee margin on the product. But ultimately what we achieved was, you know, we created a completely whole new market for kiwis. Now we sell not less than 100 to 150 kiwis, even if the kiwi is priced at 35 rupees.
So it has become profitable.
It has become very profitable, yeah. Very, very profitable. So now we always put kiwis in heaps in all our stores, you know. Very, very different from the other retailers. Kiwis are always in heaps in our stores. So,
but then that
it's
begs
all about the time taken. You know what he's saying. Yeah. The time taken here is pretty long. Yeah. The time can be cut short if the producers also come in with their views and their way of, you know, describing the product of its health aspect, whatever it is. So it is taking a lot of time otherwise. That's my only point to make here.
But then it begs the question about who takes the hit in the first instance to get the thing moving. But perhaps we need to have a cup of tea after this conference, because I suspect we could spend another few hours discussing this here today. And sadly, time is against us. So I'm going to have to call an end to this, because we're now 15 minutes, or 30 minutes rather, past our stated end time. But I think it's been worth sitting around and listening to this, because I think it's very interesting. And I'm afraid I can't take the question, but you're welcome to ask the first question next year at the conference if you would like to. But I'm sure you'll get a chance to ask of people in a moment. So I'm going to have to bring it to an end. Please stay in your seats, but if we could just thank our four speakers. And gentlemen, if you'd like to leave the stage, if you could just stay in your seats for a moment. Thank you, gentlemen, for your contributions.